All right. Thank you guys for being engaged this morning. Thank you for pressing in for brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. That's what it's about. Closer. Jeffrey's got to keep me on task back there. My mic stays on a stand and I can come and go when I want to. This one follows me around. Yeah. I'm not cool enough to pull that off. Isaiah chapter 42. I'm sorry, 41. Isaiah 41. We're going to look at verses 15 through 16. Obscure somewhat, but I think God's got something for all of us in this morning. Not too crazy deep, but crazy deep. Never sell God short. It says in Isaiah chapter 41, 15 through 16, I'm in the NIV. It says, "See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." A little context of this scripture, and I'm not a Bible historian, but pretty much Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel. At this point in Israel's history, they were kind of like this subpar tier 2 country. They had fallen away a lot, but they were still God's chosen people. No matter where we stand, and no matter how we feel like we stand up in society, you're still God's chosen people. God loves you. He died for you. He had still chosen Israel. So it's kind of like He was telling little Israel this story, this little weak Israel. He was telling this story, and Isaiah kind of goes back and forth on and kind of, you did this wrong, to you did this right, to, you know, it's just kind of how it flows. But in this part, he's encouraging them to understand this text. And I think this is, and a lot of you may understand this, and this may be just kind of old hat to you, but I think it's important to remember these things. You see the word threshing floor, winnowing fork, chaff. You see this in the Bible a lot. I mean, it starts from the beginning and kind of goes to the end. Jesus talks about it. You see it in Psalms. You see it in Isaiah. You see it in Jeremiah. You see it in Matthew and Luke. You see it in Job, Hosea, Daniel. You see these references. So I wanted to explain what this is that you're hearing for those of you who don't understand and those of you that do understand. Maybe you'll get a little bit more into it. So we're talking about harvest. You know, Sid's spoken a lot about harvest. Let me get my prop. He's talking about a harvest season and the work that's involved in a harvest season. We all go through harvest seasons. We all go through planting seasons. You can do these things simultaneously as well. You can be harvesting in one area and planting in another at the same time. So don't just say, well, I'm just in harvest right now. No, you still need to be planting something somewhere in your life. Because if you're not continuously planting something, then eventually your harvest won't come. So you're going to be in a lot of places in your life. There's going to be places, usually all the time, there's some kind of harvest going on. But there also should be some planting going on. Because without the planting, there is no harvest. We're specifically going to talk about the harvest right now and how it applies. The title of my sermon, I like to give sermons titles. I think it's cool. So it's thresh, winnow, eat, repeat. And y'all can discuss that over lunch. That's pretty cool. Thresh, winnow, eat, repeat. Okay? Write that down if you take notes. Feel free. So what happens when the old-fashioned way, now it's all done in a combine or something like that, some high-tech piece of machinery that blows my mind that can do this. But in the old days, Bible days, until machines were built, you would come out with a sickle of some sort, a sharp blade, and you've got this field of wheat or grain, however you want to say it. And you're going to come in here and you're going to cut it down at the bottom. And so you're going to have these long stalks of wheat. The next process is to bundle them up and to take them to a threshing floor, a place where they're threshed. Now, most of you know what that is, but I'm going to explain it. A threshing floor is where what you've got is you've got that kernel, and it's got the chaff around the outside, this thing that grew around the outside of it to protect the grain. Well, that has to be separated. And it doesn't just fall out all nice and neat. Now, I think they've re-engineered it where it does, but In the old days it didn't. This is before we messed with food. But it would have to be separated. It had to have pressure. It had to be hit, struck, beaten. That outside shell had to be broken so that the grain on the inside could be released. So a threshing floor, what they did on a threshing floor was multiple ways. If you just had a little, you may just take a hammer or some kind of flat metal hard object and you would just beat the wheat and it would thresh it. It would break that chaff from the grain. Or if you had a lot of times they'd use animals. The animals would, I even watched a video where they were, I guess in the Middle East somewhere, they kind of still do it to a certain degree. You got a pole in the middle of the threshing floor. And the animals were kind of tied to it, and they're all like was walking in a circle all day, and they were just stepping on it. And this particular video I watched was little boys were in there flipping on it, and they were just trying to bust it up. So, hey, let's just wreak havoc on this. I can see this would be a great way for some of our young men to get some aggression out, do some threshing. But there's also another way, which is referred to here. The animals would pull a sled, or what they called a sledge. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but just imagine pulling a plow or something that was flat and it had little teeth on the bottom, and they would pull this heavy thing around, and that in itself would do the threshing. It would break it up. So understand what a threshing floor is and why that's important. It's referenced multiple times in the Bible. And so if you understand what it is, that gives you reference and understanding about the story that God's trying to tell us through that threshing floor. There's multiple places it's talked about. So as you read your word this year, just keep that in mind is how it works. So the next thing that happens is it has to be winnowed, which is a weird word. And I had to make sure I was saying it right. And I think winnowed is correctly. Winnowing. And if you're winnowing, then you winnow. Right? So I'm an English teacher on the side. If anybody needs any help, tutoring, I'm good. So you have to winnow it. To winnow it, you take this utensil. And I have to give props to Scott. I asked Scott at work on Friday, I said, man, do you have any idea where I could get like a pitchfork? And Scott's like, yeah, I've got one. Of course Scott has a pitchfork. The only person I know has got a pitchfork. And he uses it all the time. He told me to make sure you guys knew this is a very useful tool. I'm thinking about getting one myself. He uses this all the time. He shovels stuff around, mulch, uses it at the church a lot, keeping our flower beds looking good and everything. But this is what we call now a pitchfork. What the word refers to as a winnowing fork. So what you do, did you find a picture? I kind of threw it on. Is it up there? Ha-ha! That was me yesterday practicing this in the backyard with my leaves. No. So you see what he's doing. You take this thing, and what you want to do is you're going to grab the chaff and the wheat. It's going to all be in a pile where you just threshed it on the threshing floor. You have to separate, and this is before machinery. So what you had to do is you had to take this, you had to scoop it up, and you just toss it into the air. Then the wind would blow the chaff away, but the grain is heavier than the chaff. The grain has more substance, has more weight. So the grain falls to the ground on the threshing floor. So you do this, and it's a lot of work. You're throwing the chaff up, you're throwing everything up, the wind's blowing, it's going out, the grain's falling. It's a lot of work. Harvest is work. You don't just go out, and especially then. Now we can get in a combine and ride for 5 or 6 days straight and get it done, but this was a lot of work. I want you to keep that winnowing fork in mind as we go through this. What was your 2018? That is such a broad question, and this is such a broad answer. For every person in here, it has a different answer. Some, it was very rejoiceful. Some, it was very painful. Some, it was a little bit of both. Most of us, it's going to be some of both. Some may have more pain, more difficulties, and less happiness. And some years you may have, hey, it seemed to be a really good year, you know. Never always assume that your year was bad. You know, it's always, man, I'm glad 2018's gone. I'm going to start over. God doesn't want you to do that. Even if you've had a terrible year, there's something that you need to remember is He was with you in it. That in and of itself is grain. That in and of itself is a piece of grain. You may have a lot of chaff. Do not forget the grain that you have. We all have both. it's easy to get caught up with the chaff. That's the thing that a lot of times we focus on. When you see a pile, when you see that, most of what you're seeing this guy throw around, most of it's chaff. The grain's small. It's very small. The chaff is big and it's clunky and you see it. It kind of jumps out at us. Those things that we deal with, those pains that we deal with, they jump out at us, Nick. We see them, we feel them. It's like, man, this happened. We lost this person this year. Lost this loved one this year. That hurts. That's a big piece of chaff. That's a big piece of something that happened that was difficult, that was painful. You know, I've walked through this sickness. I've walked through this pain. I've walked through this disappointment. All these things, they stick out, and that's normal, and that's okay. That's why God gives us this spiritually. He wants us to use this spiritually. He wants us to winnow what has happened in our lives. And He wants us to let that chaff blow. Let it blow away out of your life and keep the grain. Keep what He has taught you. Keep what you've learned. Keep remembering those brothers and sisters that prayed for you because they loved you. Don't just remember the pain. Remember the love. Because in pain is love sometimes. Focus. Okay, it's easy to get caught up on the chaff. The chaff is something that does not feed us. This is key. This is the most key thing to me. The chaff does not feed you. The grain feeds you. We focus on that does not feed us so many times that we forget to partake of what does feed us. We forget to partake of those good things. We forget to partake of the things that God's put in our life to bless us. We just roll over the blessings and remember the difficulties. And it's so easy to do. Guys, I'm preaching to myself. I told Kami, this is a sermon for me this morning, and I hope you guys get something out of it. Because so many times I want to look at the, you know, at work. Raise your hand if you have a job. This is life. I don't care where you work. It's so easy to get caught up on those things that are frustrating, that aren't going right, that we forget, hey, I'm not standing in the unemployment line. I have a place to work. I bring home a paycheck. It may not be as big as I want it to be, but God is blessing me. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. We need to focus on that feeds us. If it's not good, it's not God. God is good in what He does. God is good in everything that He does. So if you're looking at a situation and there's some bad stuff in it, that's not God. Find God in every situation. Find God in every struggle. Everything that you walk through, find God in it. And focus on God. It does not mean that the chaff is not there. If you look at that pile, I promise you there's plenty of chaff in it. So I'm not saying, oh, just pretend like you're not going through hard times. That's not what I'm saying to you. That's not what God's telling you. We choose what we focus on. We make that choice. We can focus on the chaff or we can focus on the grain. If it's not God, let it go. Let His wind blow and take away what is not needed and focus on what remains. That wind that God sends, God references Himself as wind so much. The wind of God, the Holy Spirit, it's almost like this wind and you feel it. It's so many times in the Scripture. Wind is refreshing. Wind brings oxygen. Wind can also remove unneeded things in our life. Wind will remove the chaff in your life. Let God's wind blow. Don't build up these walls to keep the wind from blowing in your life. Let Him blow through you. Are my thoughts feeding my spirit? This battle so many times is in our thought. How we think. How we process things. Am I feeding my spirit, man, with what I'm thinking about? So many times I'm not doing that, guys. So many times I fail at this, and I feed that little devil over there, and I'm feeding it chaff, and I'm not feeding it good things. And that leads to me not being where I'm supposed to be. You see, this morning everybody needed to come in, and we needed to be ready to pray for Amanda, and nobody knew we were going to do that this morning, including myself. We need to be in a place where any time, any second, somebody comes up to you at work and says, I have got something going on in my life. And I know you've got something that I don't have. Or maybe we both got the same thing and I'm struggling right now. We're not just talking about unbelievers. Truman, man, sometimes I need you to pray for me. I believe in the Bible. I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me. You know, I'm trying to do my best, but you know, sometimes I need you to pray for me. Not I'm lost as a ball in high weeds or anything. I need you. You need me. You need to be ready when I come up and say, man, it's broken. Nick, I've got to be ready at all times. Because if we're not, then we fail our brothers and sisters and we fail where we're supposed to be. We're all going to need help. Some of us admit it better than others. I am terrible admitting I need help. I can tell you in a broad way I need help. But for me to come up and say, hey man, I just messed up. I just, you know, got really mad at a guy at work. I need you to pray for me. I don't do that well. I can generally tell you, be honest with each other. If you have needs, 2019, use this body. Use it. We're not here just to have church on Sundays, guys. People do that all the time. I'm not here just to have church on Sunday. I'm not here for a service a week. Come up and get energized. I need you guys. I need you guys in my life. I need you guys praying for me and my family. I need you praying for my wife and my three children. I need you praying for me. So don't forget about me Sunday afternoon, and I won't forget about you. Let's do that this year. 2019, let's do that. Because God has something for us to do. God has purpose for this house. God has purpose for First Baptist. I firmly believe that. But He has a specific purpose for this house. We need to have clarity of mind of what that purpose is. So we can't focus on all this chaff. Even in this house. Hey, look, there's more than two people here. Guess what? There's disagreements in here. Bottom line, there's disagreements in here. There's people that see things differently. If you focus on that, then Satan wins. Satan wins every time. If you focus on that chaff, Satan wins. And he's keeping us not doing what we're supposed to do. Look at the good. Before we can winnow, we must go to the threshing floor. Let's talk about that threshing floor just a little bit more. We must take everything to the threshing floor. What is a threshing floor? It is an intentional pressure. The only way we can separate the good out of tough situations, we have to apply pressure. It does not come easy. It is a lot of work, and sometimes we need help. The threshing floor was usually a community event. People worked together. And this, you didn't do this by yourself. Everybody went out, and there was a lot of people working in a field. We'd get your field today, and then tomorrow we'd get Farmer Joe's, and we'd get Farmer Bill's, and we'd all work together, and we'd get it done. If you try to do it by yourself, what's going to happen is you're not going to get the harvest in time. And what's going to happen, Nick, is that harvest is going to fall on the ground and it's going to rot in the field because you tried to do it by yourself. When we try to do it by ourselves, we don't get done what God wants us to get done. You'll get a little bit, maybe enough to feed your family, but you haven't stored anything up to take care of anybody else. This was a community event. Harvesting is a community event. Harvesting is something that we all must be engaged in, or there will be stalks of grain that fall on the ground and that rot and were never harvested. And that's on us because we didn't work together. If you put a lot of people in one field, you can knock that field out, thresh it that night, the next day do another field. You can get it all done if you work together. It is a community event. So, we have to apply pressure. We have to be intentional about taking things to the threshing floor. God, I've got this issue in my life. I need to separate what is you out of this situation and what is not you out of this situation. Things that we must apply this to. I put ourselves. We have to apply this personally to ourselves. We are the grain. Are we the grain or the chaff in each situation? Guess what? You can be chaff in a situation. You go to work. I've been there. You go to work. Somebody comes up complaining about somebody else. You say, yeah, you know you're right. No, they're blah, 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 blah. Guess what I just became? I just became the chaff. I just became useless, and I'm not pointing anybody to the grain. I'm not feeding anybody. What I'm feeding is that bad thing. I should be feeding the good thing. So in every situation, what are you? It's a very important thing to be able to self-examine and look at yourself and say, what am I in this situation? People who can't do that struggle because they always think they're right. If you're always right in this room, let me tell you something. You need to look in the mirror. You're not. You're not always right. You mess up. I'm not looking at anybody specifically. I'm very, you see how my eyes are. You got to be careful when you're preaching, man. I'm sitting there talking, hey, yeah. And next thing you know, you got a complex because I'm talking to you. We're all wrong. I'm wrong a lot, guys. A lot. But you've got to be able to see that. God wants you to do that. And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you see, God, where am I messing up? Where am I messing up? And He'll show you. Yeah, it's not fun, but we need to know that. We must apply this to others. Don't focus on the chaff in other people's lives. Focus on the grain. This one's a tough one, guys. I'll tell you right now, I fail at this one. You have somebody, you work with somebody. That's a good, safe example. You work with somebody that just irritates you to death. And all you think about is, oh, here they come. They're going to irritate me again. Oh, gosh, they're driving me nuts or whatever, or they're lazy or whatever. And we just look at that and God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to look at the good things in them. And this is so difficult. But God wants us to pick out that good thing. Are they an encouraging person? Maybe they're encouraging. Find that good thing and focus on that encouragement that they give. And stop focusing on the other stuff. And once you start focusing on that, I truly believe if you can really dedicate yourself, really put pressure on the situation, this is the pressure I'm talking about, intentional pressure. I'm intentionally focusing on this bad thing and I'm finding the good out of it. God will turn it slowly, turn it into something good. And you will see that person as, instead of this person annoys me or whatever, say, you know, they're encouraging. That's an encouraging brother right there, encouraging sister right there. That's what you should see first. That is hard. I'm telling you guys some hard stuff. I'm not telling you anything I've got figured out. I feel like it's God's teaching us. Situations and difficulties. We all have winds and storms. We see winds and storms in other people's lives. We must be the grain when we come through these things. I have watched people in this church go through some storms, and I have watched them be the grain in that storm. I have watched them come through on the other side, and it blows my mind, and it encourages me. When I see you guys struggle, when I see you guys walk through difficulties, and I see you guys walk through tragedy, and I see you guys walk through that, you have no idea what that does to your brothers and sisters when they watch you. And they see you come through, not perfect, not without scars, and not without struggles, but we see you come through, and you drop right back into this house. And that chaff, and you let that chaff blow away, it encourages your brothers and sisters like you have no idea. You have no idea the influence that you have when you walk through those things. When you let that stuff blow away and you say, yeah, I dealt with it. Yeah, it was there. But I'm still here. I'm still loving God. And I'm not perfect, but I'm still doing my best and I'm still loving God. That is a testimony unlike many other. And that's what you're supposed to do. Apply this to church and teaching. Some of you right now, your eyes are glazing over waiting for me to get done. That's fine. That's cool. I don't blame you. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes when Sid speaks, you might doze off. Not doze off, but just not paying attention. You think, well, I heard that last week. Well, maybe the person next to you didn't. I want to challenge you guys. Challenge myself. I want to challenge you guys. Every time Sid, Brett, Nick, myself, Lisa, whoever is holding this microphone in this house, I want you to walk away. Make sure you fight and press in for one grain. I'm just asking you to get one grain of something. Now, if you get more than that, it's awesome. Do not leave this house without a grain to chew on. When you turn around and walk back out and say, well, I think I heard that last week. You know what? You didn't. What are you chewing on during the week? We do this and we teach because God wants to use, and it's biblically shown that, you know, you'll have an apostle get up and teach, a teacher in the house get up and teach, and it's to download stuff through one teacher to get a body all on the same page and teach stuff. Now, you can't just depend on that one person. You need to be learning at home. You need to be digging in your Bible at home. But this is one avenue that God teaches you. If you walk away here and you just walk out and just throw the chaff up, and you think it's chaff and you throw it up, and you forget to pick up all the grain that was left on the ground, you failed at coming here. You can have a really great worship experience, but you need to walk out of here with something that you're chewing on. If it's one sentence that he says, if it's a scripture, if it's something that you disagree with the speaker on, go home and study it. Think that makes Satan mad? Oh, I don't. You know what? I disagree with James on that. I'm going to go open my Bible. Well, I win. I win right there. You have opened your Bible, and before you wouldn't. Guess what? When that Bible's open, good things happen. Every time. Every time. So I want to challenge you guys this year. Every time somebody speaks into this microphone and gives a word or you know, preaches a sermon, whatever you want to call what I'm doing, speaks, grab something. Grab something. Because now Sid, man, he can talk. You guys know Sid can talk. I mean, he has been doing this a long time. He could right now, on the ski slope, start a sermon with somebody. He's just that good. He's been doing it forever. So he can talk, and sometimes he's throwing out a lot of stuff, and not all of it may be meant for you. But find your grain. Find your grain in it, and chew on it. Okay? Because this is a tough thing up here, guys. You're trying to feed different stages. You're trying to feed the people that have been doing this forever to the people who have never done it before. You're trying to feed everybody. So you're asking God, how do I do that? So take what is yours, take your grain, and chew on that grain. That's my challenge to you guys this morning. Take every sermon, everything you hear to the threshing floor, and get out of it what God wants you to get out of it. All right? Another thing that we need to get out of it is there is revelation inside of all of us. See, a lot of times we want to come to church or we want to listen to a podcast to get revelation. That's why we come. Like, hey, I hope Sid's got some great revelation for me this morning. Teaches me something I've never heard before. You know, makes me look. And that happens. And that's great when it happens because God can give him something. It can open your eyes to something. But God plants the revelation in each and every one of us. The fact that I'm standing up here personally holding a microphone teaching anybody should encourage you that we can all have some kind of revelation. It's inside of us. We just have to get it out of us. It's buried inside. God has planted revelation in each one of you. God has planted new understanding in Him in each one of you. And if you don't believe that, read the Word. The Holy Spirit's come inside of you. Jesus Christ saved you. He didn't save an empty vessel. He saved a vessel He was going to fill with stuff. And this is in America, we think this is the only way to do it. I'm going to listen to a sermon. No. It's inside of you. God has placed it inside of you. You read the Word. You press in. You ask God. You pray. God, what do you want to show me? I promise you that's what Sid does when he works on a sermon. He's like, okay, there's something you've planted inside of me. There's something that I need to get out that you've planted inside of me. What is it? But just preachers aren't the only people that do that. Every person that's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ has these things planted inside of them. Do not sell yourself short in 2019 that you don't have revelation and that you're dependent on somebody else to bring it to you. You're not. Learn how to use this. Okay? People go hungry because they don't know how to use this. You will go hungry if you don't winnow those things in your life. Use this thing. Take those things. Get this inside of your heart and say, all right, walk in that, you know, you walk into a giant heart chamber and you look and you say, all this stuff, I don't know what's in here. Let's start finding out. Find out what God's placed in you. Find out what's there. Get your winnowing fork out. For those of you listening online, I'm holding a pitchfork. I don't know if I made that clear earlier. It may be weird. Get it out. And use it in your life. Sift through that stuff because we get hit with so much stuff. If you don't use this watching the news, you will think that our planet is going to explode tomorrow because of global warming and that either Donald Trump's the greatest thing to ever live or he's Satan, depending on which one you're listening to. We do it all the time. We sift through stuff all the time. I'm telling you to sift through stuff spiritually. Sift through stuff spiritually. Winnow what God is putting in your life. So get that out. Let's talk about the chaff. I'm about to wrap this up, guys. A lot of times we don't want to get rid of that chaff because guess what? That chaff has been with us a long time. The chaff basically is the plant. It's the stem of the plant that's around the grain. The chaff actually helps the grain get where it's going. It shapes its path. It shapes what it looks like. It shapes its... It feeds it nutrients for a little while. Sometimes there's things in your life God puts in your life for a little while that eventually you need to separate yourself from to continue to grow. But we like to stay hinged to those things and tied to those things, and it doesn't allow us to grow. Now that applies to a lot of different things. I don't have a super great example of that, but I feel like I needed to say that. Somebody in here needs to let go of something that at one point was purposeful in their life and now is holding them back from the kingdom of God. It's holding them back from getting where God wants them to get. That chaff did protect that grain for a little while. But at the point of harvest, and that's what we're talking about, the point of harvest, the point that is you're supposed to come in and feed now, you've got to get rid of that. You've got to walk away from that. You've got to move beyond that. What was good for you yesterday may be holding you back today. Just remember that. And it may not apply right now, but you may see something later in your story. God will continually to call us to greater things. We must take ourselves to the threshing floor over and over and winnow the chaff out of our lives. Focus on the good, the God. Focus on what feeds you, not on the chaff and the negativity. That's basically what I want to tell you guys this morning. I want you to look at this new year, and I want you to thresh, I want you to winnow, I want you to eat, and I want you to repeat. You don't do this one time. You don't do it once. If you do it once, then you're going to go hungry after a little while. You know, I go to the refrigerator more than one time a day, you know, multiple times. I saw some workout plan the other day that says every time you walk into the kitchen, you've got to do like 12 burpees or something like that. And to keep you out of the kitchen. If I did that, I'd starve. We go and we eat all the time. You have to continually eat. Don't just feed yourself, hey, one Sunday a month, I'm going to go to church. You're going to get kind of hungry for that other one. One Sunday, or you know, one day out of the month, I'm going to read my Bible. You're going to get hungry. One time a month, I'm going to really press into worship. You're going to get hungry. Hungry people don't make good decisions. Hungry people will eat anything that's coming. Hungry people will do bad things to get their food. Don't be hungry. Is that a Snickers commercial? Should be. You're not yourself when you're hungry. You're not. Spiritually, you're not yourself when you're hungry. You're not prepared, and you don't have the strength to do what God's called you to do when you're hungry, when you're not eating the grain that God's put in your life. Winnow what's in your life and find that grain. We're going to do one more song, just because that's what happens when the worship guy gets to preach. We're going to do one more song, and I'm going to go up there and do it too. If you need to come down, I know we've had a lot of altar time this morning. Don't feel like you've got to, but if God's calling you to come down and really talk to Him about what's going on, worship team, y'all come on up. What you need to winnow in your life, what you need to thresh in your life, what you need to clear out in your life so that you can see the good things, do that this morning. You know, you can do it in your seat. You can do it right down here. We've all taken communion. If you need to take it again, take it again. But as we get started, I want to kind of close this in prayer, move this extremely dangerous object out of here. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for Your presence and for Your love. God, I just pray this morning that these people that are in this room and the people that are listening to this, Heavenly Father, realize how much You love them and how much You are putting things in their life to feed them. And God, I pray that we focus on those things, God. I pray that we focus on what You, the good things that You put in our life, God. And we let, as painful and difficult as it may be, we let that chaff go. And we focus on You, who You are, Your love for us, Your compassion for us, the fact that You sent Your Son for us, God. Let us pull those good things up and let us let the other things fall to the wayside. Let's let them blow away, God. And I pray that you send your wind in our lives to blow those things out of our lives, God. We never look back. We don't go chasing the chaff down the hillside, God, that we look at that grain that's left there on the threshing floor, and that we partake of the things that you want us to partake of, God, that you feed us the way that you want to feed us. God, we love you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come. No.